Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Did you wake up this morning and before you got in the car to come here think, I can't wait for everybody to get in the car. I can't wait to hear the Word of God. I can't wait to see Christ exalted. Did you go to bed last night and think, I can't wait to get up and sit with the saints and sing songs of... Why are you here? What is the expectation you have as you gather this morning? Is your desire to set your eyes on Christ? Do you see a need to do that? Well, we're continuing our journey through Hebrews. We're in the 13th chapter, if you turn there. And this morning, we are slowly going through chapter 13. And we are going to be looking at only verse 2 this morning. Chapter 13, starting at the second verse. Let me read it for us, and then I will pray for us, and then we will see what God has for us here. Are we all there? 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Let me pray for us. Father, I would ask that now as we set our eyes on your word, even if we've not in the past 24 hours thought about setting our eyes on you, right now you would, in your grace and kindness, do a work and give us right now perhaps the spark of the idea, of the thought, of the desire. I want to see Christ. I need to see Christ. I long this morning to see Christ. Thank you for how I've seen him already in the catechism and in the songs and in the word. And now, Lord, show me more of your son. I pray that would be in us today. Lord, would you do that work? Father, I pray that all distractions would be removed from us, that if any come in as the sermon goes forward, that they would not distract others, and that they would still be able to listen and get something from the remainder of the sermon. I pray for those of us who are here now, who have things on our mind of burdens for this week ahead, from this week past, for this day, that we would set all aside and realize our greatest need right now is to see you. Show us, Father, the goodness of your grace in the gospel, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, you need to receive hospitality. Behind me sits a table. It's a table that's laid out with grace, and I'm up here, by the way. I'm here. It'd be easier for you to listen, maybe if you look and put your mind to work here. Because I know all of you are smart enough to listen and hear. All of you are. Everyone in this room is. Care how old, how young, you're smart enough. Behind me sits a table, and you need hospitality this morning. You need hospitality. Here is a table laid out with love and grace and kindness for you. Do you wish to eat of this table? Each of you needs to eat of this table. You must come and sit and eat at this table, or you will die. Your soul will die eternally if you do not eat. If you do not come and sit and eat at this table and partake in that which it represents, you will continue to be a slave of sin, a hater of God. You'll be unclean. You'll be unclean. Each of you needs to eat of this table, yet none of you, by rights, has a place at this table. You need hospitality. You need a great and grand welcoming of God toward you. Do you ever think of it that way? You need God's hospitality toward you. And oh, that you could see the depth of your need of hospitality, and how wonderful it would be for you today if you could see the kind of hospitality that is offered to you even right now while you're sitting here. This sermon, brothers and sisters, will take place while it is preached. It'll be something you actually live out and experience while it is being spoken of. You are in need of great hospitality, and you are currently welcomed in, are receiving, having lavished upon you, hospitality. A hospitality I don't believe you grasp. Please understand, I'm not speaking of the small concept of hospitality that most of you have. For most of us, the idea of hospitality that we have is far from something biblical. For most of us, hospitality means something along the lines of making people feel comfortable if they come to my house and having them over frequently enough. For most of us, when we think of hospitality, we think more of Martha Stewart than we do Jesus Christ. It's just what comes to our mind. That's the idea that we have. But our ideas of hospitality, they're wrong. We have made the word something small, something weak, something very light. You don't need, though, this morning, something weak and light. You need hospitality. And you must today become greater receivers of hospitality. Now listen, I understand, as well as you do right now, if you're tracking with me and thinking about the text, I understand that our text this morning is commanding not that we receive hospitality, but that we show it. But listen, you will never show hospitality if, number one, you don't even understand what it is, biblically. And number two, you'll never show hospitality if you do not first become a receiver of it. So your greatest need this morning is not simply instruction about hospitality, though you will get that. And your greatest need this morning is not to be shown how you failed to be hospitable and God forgives you of this, though I hope you see that as well. No, your greatest need is to see God's hospitality and be better receivers of it. Brothers and sisters, let me just give you the punchline of the sermon right now, okay? The hero of the hospitality story is not going to be you. The story already has a hero, and it's God. You enter the hospitality story first and foremost as someone in great need of it yourselves. But admittedly, that makes no sense with the kind of idea we have in our head of what hospitality is. So why don't we get down to business here together and figure out exactly what biblical hospitality is together. What does that mean? Our text commands us to not neglect hospitality, but how can you do that if you don't even know what it is? And I said, the problem is, we've all been taught this definition of hospitality that it's as far from biblical. We've made hospitality something small. And so, listen, be honest. How many of you, when I say you need hospitality, get excited about that? We don't. Or how many of you even think about hospitality all that much? So you'd be shocked, I think, to find out how often the command to be hospitable occurs in the Scriptures. Let me just stop and remind you. Talking about your need of hospitality today. What is it? You would be shocked to see how often the command to be hospitable occurs in the Scripture. It's almost like there's an importance placed upon it that we just don't kind of grasp. In fact, the way that God speaks of this concept in the Scriptures, it makes no sense when you use our little definitions of hospitality. It doesn't go together. When you think of hospitality kind of reduced down to the idea of being nice hosts and making people feel welcome when they visit, and then you hear what God says and commands concerning it, it makes you wonder, why is God so concerned about this? Why does God just want people to make us nice snacks when we come up with? What's God doing here? He's just really emphasizing this. Why? Because it's a much bigger deal than we realize. We don't understand the biblical concept of what it's all about. So, brothers and sisters, what is hospitality? Are you with me? You excited? You can't contain yourselves right now. Am I right? Seriously, because you need hospitality. You need it this morning. What is hospitality? The words in the ESV, show hospitality to strangers. Those four words, all represent one word in the Greek. And it's a word that's got a very interesting root. The root of the word that is expressed in those four words here in ESV, the root has two ideas bound together. They kind of create a tension in the word itself, which is pretty cool if you like words. The root of the word brings together the idea both of stranger and guest into the same word. Now think about that. On one side of the word, we have the idea of one who is alien, one who does not belong. And on the other side of the word, we have this idea of being brought in and being welcomed. Isn't that interesting? And this is what hospitality is at its root, to bring in the stranger. And in the culture and context of the Old and New Testament, it meant something much more profound than it does to us, of course. You have to remember, in biblical times, many of the things that you and I take for granted just didn't exist. There were no convenience stores. There was no 911, fire department, rescue. There was no, oftentimes there were no place of lodging overnight if you were traveling to another place, no reputable place to spend the night. If you had to, in those times, leave your homeland and travel a great distance for whatever reason, perhaps war broke out, perhaps there was a famine, perhaps disease broke out, for any reason, if you had to travel a long distance, it was a life and death situation. It wasn't like we just get in a car and go, and there's a Ramada down the street. It's a life and death situation. On your journey, you would leave the safety of your home, your people group, your family, and you would go face the elements, the weather, criminals, groups of bandits that might happen upon you, that preyed upon travelers and sojourners. You would have wild animals to contend with as you stayed overnight from place to place as you traveled. And so, to survive, you are dependent on the kindness of others to you when you came to a certain settlement that you didn't belong to, and you just showed up in the midst of the night. You've depended on their kindness to protect you and treat you nicely. And so, to care for the alien or the sojourner was a duty that was given one of the highest priorities. This idea of caring for the alien among us is put to us again and again throughout the Scriptures. Our text this morning, in fact, should call to mind at least a couple Old Testament stories this morning. The second half of our verse, remember it said that weird thing about entertaining angels unaware, right? Should call to our mind maybe some stories in the Old Testament. Did any stories come to your mind, I wonder? Perhaps one, the first one we could think of is Abraham in Genesis 18. Do you remember the story? Abraham sees these three men traveling by his tent. We later find out it's a visitation from God. And Abraham bows down to them and he says, "Let water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourself." And then Abraham goes, gets Sarah, go make some bread, hurry up, make some bread. Goes and kills a calf for them, prepares it. See, that's the kind of hospitality that was expected if you found a traveler passing by. Maybe another famous example came to your mind when we heard about entertaining angels unaware. Shortly after the story of Abraham in Genesis, there's a story of those same angels visiting someone else. Do you know who? Lot. Very good. The same angels that visited Abraham go to Sodom and Gomorrah. We know what they're planning on doing as they go there. They already told Abraham they're going to destroy the city for the wickedness of the city. And let's start to go to Genesis 19. Look at the story. Genesis 19. And let's look at Lot's hospitality here. Genesis 19. Starting at verse 1. Genesis 19:1. Lot's hospitality. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, "My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way." They said, "No, we will spend the night in the town square." But he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them. Lot went out to the men at the entrance and shut the door after him and said, I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof. So first we see Lot taking care to see these men in need as they come into the city square and to bring them into his home and protect them. He practically, in the story, begs them to come and let him serve them. Then we see him do what is, to us, the unthinkable, right? Offering his own daughters to the wicked crowd to protect the alien and sojourner under his roof. We hear this, and we can't comprehend it. John Gill comments on this story, saying that, of course, we don't recommend that we follow Lot's example of throwing our children to the wicked crowds, since it's our duty to protect them from evil. But he goes on to say that what this story does show us is, quote, Lot's great regard to the laws of hospitality, that he had rather sacrifice his daughters to their brutal lusts than give up the men that were in his house to them, end quote. You see, that is the kind of costly, self-sacrificial, brutal kindness, if I might use that term, that we see God commands of us in the Scriptures. Friends, God commands that we not simply take note of the alien who is in need, not that we simply wish them well, not that we at times even just welcome our friends into our homes and make them feel comfortable. God commands hospitality, meaning this. God commands us to take under our care the alien among us, those who are in need, those who have left homes and safety. We are to take them to ourselves to care for them at great cost to ourselves. This command, friends, is repeated over and over in the Scriptures, and given a place of importance among all the commands of God. Over and over, all through the Old Testament, God tells the Jews, remember, you were once sojourners in Egypt yourselves. You were once without a home. You once needed kindness shown to you. And then commands that they do good to the strangers among them. Let me give you some examples. Exodus 22:21. You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you are sojourners in the land of Egypt. Exodus 23:9. You shall not oppress a sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you yourself are sojourners in the land of Egypt. Leviticus 19:33. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. Do you hear what God says there? You're to love the stranger as yourself. And God threatens to destroy those who don't obey this command. In Malachi 3, he says, I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, those who swear falsely, those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, and against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me. Great importance he lays upon this. And this is carried through into the New Testament. In the New Testament, we're told over and over again to show hospitality to one another. Romans 12, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 tells us that an overseer must be someone who is hospitable. 1 Peter 4 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. But perhaps the most shocking example of the importance given to this command to be hospitable, it comes in Deuteronomy chapter 10, if you would turn there. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, the command to be hospitable is put in a list of descriptions of God and commands that seems like just doesn't make sense if you use our definition of hospitality. Chapter 10, I will start at the 12th verse. Listen to the language here, guys. And by the way, let's stop for a minute. What are we talking about? We're talking about hospitality. Why are we talking about hospitality? What's that?
Because God does.
And particularly because, as I said in the beginning, you need hospitality. You need it. I've told you that you need to be a greater receiver of it today, and I've told you that your definition of it is wrong. We have a very small, weak view of it. I'm trying to show you the biblical picture of what hospitality is. The biblical picture is not anything like it. It's not Martha Stewart. It's Lot. It's a different idea than what we have. And I'm telling you that God tells us to treat the alien among us, the foreigner who comes to for refuge among us, in a way that we don't even understand, at great cost to ourselves. It is a brutal kindness that is demanded of us. And I'm showing you that it's elevated to a very high place in God's mind. And I want you to see that particularly here. I think it comes out best in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Let me show you. Starting at verse 12. Moses is talking. Moses has just actually reestablished the covenant with the people with the new tablets of stone. And verse 12 says, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." What is that? That's the greatest commandment, right? Here we have the greatest commandment. "And to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I'm commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven, and the heaven of heavens, and the earth, with all that's in it." You see these great lofty statements? "Yet the Lord," now look at the good that God has done. "He's done. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers, and chose their offspring after them, you above all people, as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God, who is not partial, takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love, therefore, the sojourner, for you are sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. And by his name you shall swear. He is your praise." So just think about this, guys. What stands out to me here is this. We have a command to circumcise our hearts, to love God with all our heart and soul, the greatest commandment. Then we're told glorious truths about God and what he has done. The Lord is God of gods and Lord of lords. He's chosen to love them. And then smack in the middle of it all, this command, love the sojourner. Love the alien and stranger. And we're told why. Because God is a God who loves the sojourner. And we think hospitality is a small thing. Yet here it is, placed in this description of that which is most important to God, and amongst a series of descriptions of how glorious our God is. God thinks it is immensely important, and he himself loves to take one who is the stranger and make him a guest. And this is what our text says we are not to neglect doing. And you can see how that relates to the book of Hebrews and to what the Hebrews are going through. If you remember what we talked about some weeks back, we looked at verse 1, right? At verse 1, we saw we were commanded to show Philadelphia to one another, brotherly love. And I was telling you in that sermon that our author knows that persecution is coming upon these people. And he's fearful that persecution is going to drive them away from doing the kind of things that Christians should do with one another. And each of these verses after verse 1 are descriptions of the kind of things he knows they need to be focused on, because persecution will pull them away from it. You can see how this relates to this command to be hospitable. Think about it. If tomorrow Christianity was outlawed and people were losing their homes because of their faith, and a brother or sister from another town came into your town and needed a place to stay, you know what you would face. I bring them into my house. Everybody knows I'm a Christian. The persecution comes on me next. And so the concern here that the author of Hebrews has is, do not neglect this. This is important. And it relates directly to what's going on to the Hebrews themselves. So the command comes, no matter what the situation we face, this brutal kindness must be shown. This self-sacrificial love is commanded. In fact, brothers and sisters, it is so important that Christ himself goes so far as to identify with the stranger and the alien, with the most needy of our brothers and sisters. And when He, Christ, describes the final judgment, when all men will stand before Him, He tells us that how we treat the alien will be remembered on that day. Matthew 25, listen. Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." And they'll answer saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't minister to you?" And He'll answer saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal fire. Friends, hospitality is not simply making great snacks for your guests and making sure people are invited over frequently enough. Hospitality is a brutal kindness. Brutal to your flesh, brutal to your own selfish desires, in which we care for one and take one under our protection. First, brothers and sisters who are in need, and then also those in the world who are aliens who we have opportunity to serve. God commands this of us. He commands us in our text not to neglect such works. And He's telling us in our text, listen, He's telling us it would be for our benefit to do this. It would be for our benefit to do this. It's not a punishment that He's calling you to do this. That's why our author references those who entertain angels without knowing it. That's what that means there. See, the point isn't we're to constantly suspect that people we come across are angels. Right? Is this an angel? Is that an angel? I should pick up this hitchhiker. Maybe he's an angel. What should I do? Right? That's not the idea. The point is that what we're being shown is that men of old, when they showed hospitality, it was God giving them an opportunity to be blessed greatly, right? That's what happened. Think about this. Who did Lot welcome into his home? Afraid people sent to rescue him, right? But as I said earlier, Lot or you or anyone else are not the hero of this story. And you will never show the least bit of true hospitality unless you first come to understand what it is and then how you yourselves need it and have received it. Did you notice that in the Deuteronomy passage we read in chapter 10, that God motivates hospitality by first telling the people of His free love for them and how He Himself loves the stranger and alien, and then reminds them about how they once needed to be rescued. See, if you don't first see your need of hospitality and receive it, you will forever neglect it. Do you see it? Do you see your need of hospitality? Friends, it is true that even this very moment, even as this sermon is preached, hospitality is being shown to you. You are people in need of great hospitality. And you are a people who are being shown it right now. How so? We aren't wandering in the wilderness. We aren't being threatened by animals and in need of shelter. In what way are we strangers and aliens? And in what way do we need this kind of brutal kindness to be shown to us? Again, I remind you of the table that sits behind me. Do you see your need of hospitality as you look upon that table? Which of you this morning longs to sit at this table and find yourself welcome at this table, to be able to eat of it and to eat freely? May I remind you that you have no natural right to eat of this table. And yet you have the greatest need imaginable to eat of it. You have not, by your birth, by your works, by your worth, by your intelligence, earned a place at this table. Listen, just think about it, guys. You take it for granted. Why should He open this table to you? Why should you be invited to come here? How dare you presume to think that you could just come and walk in and sit at His table and eat? Who are you? You have no right to this. And God knows full well the kind of hospitality you have shown to others hasn't earned you the right. In fact, if anything, the kind of hospitality or the lack of hospitality that you've had has made you more in need of this table and at the same time less deserving of it. Friends, you don't face wild animals and bandits today. I understand that. But your many sins have put you in danger. Your many sins have put you in danger. Shouldn't you be considered a stranger and an alien in light of this table, in light of God's presence and good gifts? You don't belong sitting at a table set by a holy God. You don't belong there. There should be no welcome here for you. God's righteous and just anger burns against you. Yes, for your lack of hospitality, but also for your many sins, all of which you know right now and can call to your mind right now as you sit here, though you try to hide from them. You know them. You know. You know have a way on your conscience, don't you? That they make you question your right standing with God. They make you feel like you need to be cleansed. They, I pray, fill you with a desire to want to come and eat and be clean. Night falls. Night falls. In this world, night falls, and judgment comes with morning. And you need a shelter. You need a safe place. Who will shelter you on that day? Oh, friends, you need hospitality. You need one to come to you as you sit in the town square and say to you, come in. Don't stay out here in the open. Come in. Come into my home. Find refuge for your soul. Don't you need that? You must be welcomed to this table. It alone is the refuge for your soul from the wrath of God at you. Don't just hear that as words. One day it comes. Don't you long to come to this table, sinner? Don't you long to be washed clean and receive grace? Not just for your sin of lacking hospitality, but in light of your many sins. Don't you want the fellowship that this table offers? Yet you have no right to this table. You are a stranger to God by birth. Your sin makes you an alien in His lands. If anyone is a stranger and an alien, it is us in light of God's purity and goodness. Let this sink in, friends. Those of you who want to know God and be known by God, your sin has made you a stranger to Him. But there is good news this morning. Will you believe it? See, there is a beautiful hero in the Scriptures when it comes to hospitality, but will we even see it? You strangers and aliens need to come to this table and eat, a table to which you have no right and where you don't belong at all. Will you believe? First, I guess, will you even see how you don't deserve to come to this table? Will you see how desperately you need to come to this table? Has there been a work of God in you, friends, such? Has there been a work of God in you, in your life, in these past days and weeks, that you've seen, I have such sin. I have such sin. I want to be clean. Has that work taken place? And have you come to a place where you see, I can't cleanse myself? And are you in a position today where you recognize, I need hospitality? And will you believe that God gives that hospitality to you at this table? I know that most of you are going to pick up a cracker, and you're going to pick up the juice, and you're going to eat, and you're going to drink. But will you really come to this table today and see true hospitality shown to you? Earlier in Deuteronomy, we read these beautiful words. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and He loves the sojourner. I'm admitting to you right now. These words are something that leaves you unattentive if you don't see yourself this morning, even in the littlest way, as a stranger before God because of your sin. But for anybody in here this morning who has ever looked at themselves and thought, how could I ever be welcomed by Him? How could I be welcomed by Him? Look at me. Look at how I've even welcomed others. Look at what's burdening my conscience right now. Look at this sin I cannot remove from myself. If that's ever been you, then how beautiful are the words in the text in Deuteronomy when we hear it said of God, He loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. You surely are a stranger to God by reason of your sin. Yet we're told here that God loves the sojourner. Do you believe that? And I ask you, brothers and sisters, this morning, how great a love does God have for those who are strangers to Him? Great enough to save a sinner like you and welcome you to this table? Is His love that big? Is it a love great enough to look upon the likes of us in this room, a people who must be just so foreign to God, so unlike Him? And is His love such that He would extend to us the invitation to come sit at His table and eat and drink and be safe? Would you dare even ask this morning? Would you dare even ask, Lord, let me feast at this table? Would you be bold enough to come to Him like that this morning? Listen, you must or you die. You must or you will not eat. Will you come and see Him as one who loves the stranger and the alien? He loves the stranger and the alien. And will you confess that you are the stranger and the alien? You need hospitality and believe He extends it to you. I ask you, is His love for the stranger this big that you could believe it? And I tell you, it is. It's even greater than this. Listen, you have to understand, friends, you don't even come to Him this morning just as a stranger. You're not just a stranger. Look, you're not simply somebody who's like walking through, passing by. You're an enemy of the one who set this table. You see, the kind of hospitality you need is far greater than the kind of hospitality that He's asking you to show. Your sin has put you against God. It is against Him that you have sinned and done what is evil in His sight. You sit before a table. Listen, if you heard nothing else, just listen to this. You sit before a table right now, of which you must eat. Let me start again. You sit before a table right now that you must eat of, that you will die if you are not welcomed to. But not only have you no right to eat of this table, but you have so insulted and offended the one who has set the table that you are by rights nothing more than His enemy. You are not just traveling from a strange land. You come from your father's home. Your father, by birth, is the great enemy of the one who sets this table, the evil one himself. Would a child of the evil one dare ask to be sheltered by the holy God? Is God's love for the stranger that big? Yes, friends, it is. He has love in His heart for the stranger. If this is boring to you, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. It's called sin. And it's deadened you. Because right now, you're more interested in going home and eating. And you call yourself a Christian. He welcomes in not just strangers, which you won't even do. He welcomes in His enemies and sets a table for them. And you don't even understand the cost of the table. You don't understand the depth of the love He has. Your God finds you weak and traveling with no hope, a son of His sworn enemy, traveling towards your death. No shelter from the judgment that comes. And understand, your God sees you like that. And He does, listen, He does what Lot did. He rushes out to you and stops you and says, please come in, find rest. Come eat, sit at my table. Let me shelter you. No, you know what? No, actually, it's different. He goes out and He drags you into the house. He compels you to come in. Even for sinners does He do this? Only for sinners does He do this. Who else would need it? Sinners, you can. Listen, sinners, you can come and eat. His love is that big. You must come eat at this table. It offers cleanness. Cleanness to anybody who eats of it. It offers cleanness. Brothers and sisters, how wonderful a thought that is. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. Isn't this true? Don't we sing this? My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. But I must partake of Christ if it's to be true. I must be given this gift, and here it sits before you on this table. Has your sin made you a stranger? Do you feel you have no right to eat of this table? Then come. Come and believe that God loves the sojourner and welcomes every stranger who comes to Him. No, I can't believe it. I can't believe His goodness is like that. Not for me. I don't feel it enough. I don't believe it enough. I haven't repented enough. It's not for me. Then friends, come and see what He has done. Set your eyes. If that's what you're thinking, come set your eyes and be convinced. Come see His hospitality. He is the hero of the hospitality story this morning. You who doubt how deep His love is, come see what He has done to convince you. See, you're shocked to hear of Lot and what he did to protect those under his care. But there is another father, friends, who had a child so much more pure and innocent than the daughters of Lot, who has done so much more to care for and protect any this morning who seek shelter under His wings. And this Father, seeing your need as the stranger who has come to Him for shelter, this Father has taken His pure and perfect Son and cast Him out to the wicked crowds. Do you see this? Do you see how deep His love is for the stranger? And they took that Son and they abused Him throughout the night and humiliated Him. This Son willingly went out. He wasn't forced to do it. He willingly left His Father's house and gave Himself to the wicked crowds and was ashamed and degraded by the wicked hands of men and in the morning put to death. Why? To protect you, the stranger, who came to Him for protection and shelter. You don't, it's so ridiculous. You don't doubt the hospitality of Lot as you see Him willing to give His daughters to save the men under His care, do you? You don't doubt it. Yet you're shocked by it, but you don't doubt it. He was willing to give anything to save those who came into Him for safety, and yet you would doubt the hospitality of your Father this morning, who has cast His beautiful, cherished Son to the wicked crowds to save you who sought shelter in His grace. Be amazed, friends, at the hospitality offered you on this table behind me. But listen, you know what? In this story, you're not just the innocent stranger in the house seeking shelter. No. You're the wicked crowds groping at the door in your blindness looking for more evil. And when the Son was given over, He was given over into your hands, friends, and we put Him to death. And listen, He knew that it would be our very act of putting Him to death that would be the means of Him being able to set this table for us and provide for us safety from the wrath to come. In light of that, in light of the fact that He knew how sinful we were and gave Himself to us in this way, that He would be able to rescue you. In light of that, how can you doubt that He would have mercy for you if you came to this table today? How can you doubt that? How beautiful is the hospitality of the Father, friends. His pure Son went out to the crowds and suffered and died in order to provide this table for us that we could come. And this very morning, as enemies, be found to be children, set there and loved, safe forever under His sheltering arms. Brothers and sisters, this moment, right now, and this whole time you have come into this building and gathered together, you have been receiving the hospitality of God purchased for you at great cost. And He has laid out for you a storehouse of treasures, of grace and of mercy. He has come and shown you His goodness and laid it before you. And you need to eat at this table. If you are to live, you need to eat at this table. And He opens the door of His home this morning now, and He cries out to you, come eat. He stands before you and He cries, come, look at the table that I've set. See my heart for the stranger and the alien. See how I welcome you who were once my enemies. See how I call you a child at my table. So I call upon you this morning, brothers and sisters. I call upon you to come to the table and to celebrate this grace and honor this gift by receiving it. By receiving it in faith. I call upon you today to remember. Remember, your God is a God of hospitality. Remember, He is a God who loves the sojourner who comes to Him. Remember, the Father who gave His pure Son to protect the stranger and the alien from harm. I call upon you to remember you were at one time separated from Christ, as Ephesians says, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. How did He do it? By abolishing the law of commands expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace. He has brought us near. So come to the table and come experience the hospitality of God. Find yourself strangers to Him no longer, but instead children. Beloved children who He has earned a place for at the table. Not because of your worth is this table set. Not because of your sinlessness is this table set. Not because of your wisdom is this table set. Not because of your ability to cleanse yourselves has He set this table. He has set this table because of the blood of Christ and His love for the sojourner who would come to Him. And every one of those strangers that would come this morning to this table, He would shelter by the very blood of His Son. So come. Father, I pray that as we turn to the table now, we would think about the hospitality that is offered to us, the hospitality we need so desperately. And I pray You would convince everyone who sits in this room that Your love is for them. It is offered to them freely right now. Father, convince us that Your grace is greater than our sin and Your ability to save greater than our ability to disobey. Convince us You are a real Savior who does all the work of saving and calls us to throw ourselves on Your mercy today. Father, let it change us into a people who love You. Please let it change us into a people who love You. Please let my brothers and sisters this morning, as they hold these elements, please let them love You as You deserve to be loved for what You have done. In casting Your Son, and Your Son willingly going out, that You would be able to provide shelter for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's come to the Lord's Supper, brothers and sisters. And let us now partake of the hospitality of our God to those who were once nothing but strangers and enemies. Let us now come with belief and faith in our hearts and take the elements and hold them in our hands and celebrate the mercy of God to us. It could just be words to you. And I can't change that. It could be something you do every Sunday because you gather in this building, and I can't change that. But I really just pray that You would see your need. That You would see, this is really God welcoming You at great cost to Himself. It's a brutal kindness He has shown. And that as you take these elements, you would realize, He loves me. He's saved me. And that as you take them, you would then, in your heart, find love for Him grow. So I'd remind you that this table is open to everyone who has turned from his rebellion, who has found that they can't turn from their rebellion, and thrown themselves at His feet and said, "Rescue me from my rebellion." And who believes that the work of Christ on the cross is enough to earn them shelter from the wrath of God to come. If that's you, this table is open to you. If that is not you, I would ask that you would not eat, let the elements pass. But again, I would remind you, there's no reason that can't be you today. Here's the hospitality of God to the stranger and the alien. Partake with joy, brothers and sisters.